When I started to prepare for today, a story came to my mind from a long time ago, and I can't remember the exact year. I can tell you where we were living at the time, but we lived there for 5 years, so give or take a few years. This could have happened maybe 15 years ago. And I was out shopping by myself, so keep in mind our children would have been quite young then, and I decided to buy Dave, my husband, a gift. It wasn't his birthday, it wasn't Christmas or any other celebration that warranted a present. It was purely because I'm such a good wife. Actually, the gift I bought him was some new, I don't know what you want to call it, cologne, aftershave, you know, and I purchased it really not because of the way he smelt, but because the previous bottle had run out. He probably can't even remember this. The previous bottle had run out and he needed some more. So I went into a shop that I felt looked something like this, and I don't know if it really did, but I spent a lot of time smelling things. And there was a very perhaps overly helpful retail assistant who confused me even more. But after all of that, I made my purchase and I left. Well, Dave was quite happy to receive the gift, which made me happy, and he even liked what I'd chosen and he started wearing it, which was very nice. It's a lovely, lovely story, isn't it? But actually, this shopping trip and this purchase took place when we were on holidays. Now, like all good holidays, they usually come to an end and you have to go home. So we had been packing up and I said to Dave, could you go into the bathroom and pack up like all your toiletry stuff? I don't know why I was telling him because he was a grown man, but anyway, I was still telling him to get going. Go pack up all your toiletries, only yours, I've done the rest of them. So he went to do that. We were soon to be leaving to go to the airport. And as he's in the bathroom, I hear this great crash and smash. And I went in there to discover that this beautiful bottle that I had just recently purchased was smashed to a zillion pieces, probably not a zillion because, you know, I'm not sure how many, but and all the contents were all over the floor of the bathroom of where we were staying. When I asked Dave what had happened, he said that his hands were wet. And when he picked up the bottle, it had slipped straight through and had hit the floor. So I said to him, well, why didn't you dry your hands? To which he replied, well, Kylie, somebody felt the need to remove all the towels from the towels and put them in the bottom of the shower ready for housekeeping when they come in and they're just going to clean anyway. What a waste was my response. A waste of my money, a waste of my time smelling all those smells in that shop. And of course, a waste of aftershave that was all over the bathroom floor and which then just disappeared. Well, when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This verse is part of a scripture that we heard just a few moments ago that Iwe read to us. A woman came to Jesus with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. And some of the people present asked, why this waste? What a waste. Well, if you have been here or you've watched online over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been considering these 2026 resolutions that look like this, that we saw outside a church in Auckland. Be tenaciously hopeful, call out injustice, and love wastefully. Love wastefully. The story that we have heard this morning of Jesus being anointed is recorded in each of the four Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But each version has some slight differences. We've already heard from Matthew's Gospel. The Gospel of Mark has a very similar version of it. He talks of Simon the leper, talks of a woman, again unnamed, who came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. Those present suggested that the perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. In John 12, we read of a dinner for Jesus where Lazarus was present. Martha served and Mary brings a pint of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet, then wiped his feet with her hair. Again, in John's gospel, it was suggested that it could have been used for other purposes and that the money could have been shared with the poor. A similar incident is also recorded in Luke's gospel, but it's different to the other gospels, and scholars believe perhaps it was a different anointing. For we're told that a woman who lived a sinful life came with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. Some believe that this sinful woman may have been Mary Magdalene. And in this version of events, it's recorded that the woman wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, that she kissed them, and Jesus said, "Go, your sins are forgiven." Why this waste was the question. But was it a waste? Certainly Jesus didn't think so, because he responds by saying, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." In my opinion, she has loved wastefully. Well, in my deep dive through online dictionaries, which, you know, I think if you dive deep enough, you can find that a word can mean anything that you want it to mean these days. But anyway, when I was deep diving through online dictionaries, wasteful or wastefully can also mean extravagant or generous. So could our resolution, not that I'm really big into resolutions, as I've told you before, but could our resolution be to love extravagantly? Love wastefully also means to love extravagantly. I was thinking about this in relation to the greatest commandment, when one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus which was the most important commandment, and Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." In other words, love with all you are and with all you have. This is what the woman did. She took what was most likely the most precious thing she had and she poured it out on Jesus. Jewish women loved perfume, and they often carried a small alabaster vial of perfume around their necks because it was so valuable. And as I said, in both Mark and John's gospel, it says that the perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Some are suggesting it could have been sold for 300 denarii, which is approximately a year's wages for a common worker. To help put this into perspective, if you were to read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it's suggested there that they would need 200 denarii to feed 5,000 people. So this perfume was worth a lot of money. It would have fed more than 5,000 people the money that they could have sold it for. This perfume was so precious. And what she did was so generous, it was extravagant, and it was wasteful, but not in a bad way. Well, some suggested use the money on something better. I don't think that loving wastefully often causes us to stop and ask if it is the best use of resources. People who love something or someone deeply may not stop and consider what it is actually going to cost them, whether that's financial or otherwise. Sounds like all I've done all week is be on Google, but if you want a fun activity this afternoon, Google the most extravagant gifts ever given. When I was talking to Dave about this during the week, he likes to tell this story about R.M. Williams and, you know, Twiggy Forrest, the mining magnate. He now owns R.M. Williams, and Dave likes to tell everybody that he bought it because Twiggy bought it because his then wife Nicola loved the boots so much, and she wanted them made in Australia or something, and so he bought her the R.M. Williams company. I don't think that's true. I couldn't find anything to back that up, but have a look. But here's some things that are true. Mike Tyson, you know, the boxer, he gifted his then wife a 24-carat solid gold bathtub because that's what everybody needs in their bathroom. Is that loving wastefully? You can decide. Angelina Jolie gave her then husband, there's a lot of then spouses in these things, so I don't know what that says about extravagant gifts, gave her then husband Brad Pitt a waterfall. I didn't even know you could buy a waterfall, but she bought land that had a waterfall. But then she outdid herself because for his 50th birthday, she purchased him an island. Extravagant? Wasteful? I'm not sure. But my personal favourite has always been the Taj Mahal. In one of the most public displays of affection, some say of all time, the emperor, and I'm not sure if this is correct, but Shah Jahan had the Taj Mahal built in 1631 in memory of his third, but his most favourite wife. He spent the equivalent, according to Forbes magazine, in today's currency, of $827 million building the Taj Mahal. The construction took over 22 years and required the work of more than 20,000 artisans. Things gifted in generosity, in extravagance, that I am sure that accountants perhaps did not approve of these people loving their spouses wastefully. But what would it look like if we were living as people who loved wastefully, loved extravagantly, both God and other people? We live in a rushed world, full of to-do lists and busyness. Perhaps slowing down is one way that we can increase our love, giving of our time. Loving God wastefully might mean for us that we might spend more time in worship of him. We might spend more time deliberately in his presence. We might spend more time being still, perhaps in prayer or in meditation, in his word, listening to his voice. The woman did what she could. What is it that you can do to love God wastefully? Let's look at Jesus for a couple of minutes. He spent his ministry loving people who others perhaps had written off, or other people who were not highly thought of. People like Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, even children back then, people who were chronically ill. His most closest confidants were fishermen. Before Jesus interacted with others, did he ask if they would appreciate it? or if the conversation with him would change them or make a difference. No, he didn't. But in most cases, it did. Did he interact with others to get something in return? No. Instead, he loved them wastefully, showing up again and again and again. Jesus spent his time loving people who may never repay it, forgiving people who others believed and still believe are not worthy of forgiveness, interacting with those in society who others avoided, including lepers. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8, it's recorded that Jesus had come down from a mountain and, as was so often the case, there were crowds of people following him. And a man came and knelt before him and essentially asked Jesus to heal him. You know, at the time, there were all these laws around people who were unclean. And by Levitical law, it was actually forbidden for this person to be even in kind of close proximity to those who were not lepers. Whenever I read this story, I automatically think of COVID, which is terrible. But, you know, people were isolated for weeks. Imagine being isolated for years in that space. The mere interaction was against what was supposed to be happening. Now, Jesus was God. We know that. He was the Son of God, but he was also God. And he could have healed the man with a word or two, possibly with a hand wave, and I'm not thinking magician, but maybe you're healed, go on your way. Even with a thought. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man who was kneeling before him. And he said, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately it says that he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus was not afraid to violate the law by reaching out and touching the leper. He was not afraid to love wastefully or extravagantly as he interacted with others. What is it that you can do to love others wastefully? This act of Jesus really mirrors the compassion and the love of God. Our God, who loved and loves so extravagantly that he gave his Son. At the cross, as Jesus was being crucified, we experience the greatest act of somebody loving wastefully. Some may have said that this is a waste, but many, including me, would say that God did a beautiful thing. He did what he could. He loved with no limits. Some may say or ask us, "Why are you wasting your time? That person is no good and there is no hope they will change." But loving them, reaching out a simple hand to them, is not being irresponsible or reckless. It's being like Jesus. Some may say, "Why this waste?" But Jesus will always say, "Leave them alone, for what they are doing is a beautiful thing." So as 2026 continues to tick along, and it's ticking along quickly, I pray that we would be people who will be brave enough to love wastefully. That you and I will love God with our whole heart, that we will love people with open hands. And I don't want us to be afraid. Don't be afraid if it looks a little wasteful, because I suspect that what you are doing is actually a beautiful thing. Shall we pray? Father God, first and foremost today, I want to thank you that you love us extravagantly, and that in the life of Jesus, you have modeled to us what it means to live a life of generosity, a life where interacting with people made such a huge difference. And so, Lord, as we go through now what is 11 months left of this year, may we be people who will love you and others with all we are and all we have. May we love you, the Lord our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And may we love others and treat others as we would want to be loved and treated. God, help us to be brave enough to do that. And help us to remember that as we do that, we are doing a beautiful thing for you, for others, and for ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.